Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church. My name is Bill Kirkham. I've been a member here since last summer. This morning, we welcome those here in person and those joining us online. We also welcome this morning Connie Tuttle, who was filling in for Marcus, who was on vacation. So thank you, Connie. There are no announcements this morning. But as a reminder, please join us for fellowship in Holman Hall after the service. At this time, let us prepare our hearts for prayer. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
Thank you. And God, who has gathered us to worship, now greet you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be our strength. By the might of your Spirit, lift us into your presence, we pray, where we may be still and know that you are God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Almighty and most merciful God, we humble ourselves before you under a deep sense of our unworthiness and guilt. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have come short of your glory. We have broken your commandments and turned aside from your way of life. Have mercy on us, O God. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, pardon our sin, take away our guilt, and grant us your peace. Purify us by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and make us able and willing to serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name.
Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're continuing our series in the Psalms, this week picking up Psalm 6. As I said to you last week, these next couple of Psalms are a little more in the trenches, as we may say. We have to remember again, and I'm just going to drill this into your head so that if any time I ask this of you, you'll be able to answer the question. John Calvin said, the Psalms are the whole anatomy of human emotion. So if I bump into you in the food line, this is the question I'll be asking you, is what did John Calvin say about the Psalms, the whole anatomy of human emotion? And as I said last week, that means the depth of our suffering and our pain is part of our emotional life. And so that's reflected here in the Psalms, but it still has something to teach us about God and about ourselves. So let us turn and listen to God's word from Psalm 6. To the leader with stringed instruments, according to the Shemininth, a psalm of David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are shaking with terror. My soul is also struck with terror, while you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, save my life. Deliver me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who can give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. They grow weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and struck with terror. They shall turn back and in a moment be put to shame. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What do we do with our pain? This is an inevitable question of our human experience. What do we do with our pain? I don't need to enumerate to you the realities of human suffering, be it the loss of loved ones, sickness, addiction, loneliness. I know that you've experienced real pain in your lives. We all have.
But what comes next after that experience is, what do we do with it? How do we handle what we have gone through? I think there are a couple of ways in our society, in our world, that we sort of go about this. Maybe we just try to stuff it all down. We just try to keep it silent and hope that it will just fade away with time. Maybe we get angry, and not at anything in particular, just angry. Or maybe we even try to distract ourselves, pretend everything is all right, even when it isn't. Now, these attempts might be successful in the short term. They might be successful. One of the things that I learned in our CPE internship we did at the hospital is that there are many kinds of coping mechanisms, and some of them might work in the meantime, and they might be good for a little while, but long term, they can do us harm. Ultimately, all these ways will do us harm. We try so hard to keep silent or to be angry or to be distracted to the point that these things dominate our lives, particularly our spiritual lives. Silence and anger and bitterness become the norm until they consume us. Nobody is born an angry or bitter person. They become that way, and often as a response to real pain. So the question remains, what do we as Christian persons do with our pain? The answer is, we lament. We lament. Now, you may be familiar with this term. You may think of the Book of Lamentations, which is a collection of the laments of the prophet Jeremiah. Or you may know that a number of the Psalms, including our text this morning, are laments. They are Psalms of lament. But what exactly is lament? Mark Vogrip, the author of the book Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, writes that lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. A prayer in pain that leads to trust. I think we too often think of prayer as only an intellectual endeavor. We may be praying facts about God, that he is holy and gracious and just and more. Or we may simply sort of recite our needs to God as if we're reading off a grocery list. And there is indeed always an intellectual side to prayer. We can't remove ourselves from our minds. But prayers of lament show us that God not only accepts our minds, but also our emotions. We pray our emotions. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And to be sure, in Psalm 6, David is in a state of utter pain and sorrow. Now, as is often the case with the Psalms, we don't know the exact circumstances that gave rise to his sorrow. But I think we can find here in the Psalm that David's words teach us just how to pray. How to pray when we feel we are lost. How to pray when we don't know what tomorrow looks like. David's words here in Psalm 6 can teach us prayers of lament and show us how God gives grace in our darkest moments. So you may want to get a piece of paper or the back of your bulletin. There's a nice notes section because we're going to go through what exactly a prayer of lament is. A prayer of lament has four parts, usually. Turning to God, presenting our complaint, making a bold request, and choosing to trust. Turning to God, presenting our complaint, making a bold request, and choosing to trust. We'll take each of these in turn. First, turning to God. Verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Our first inclination when we are in pain and sorrow is almost never to turn towards another person, to ask for help, to reach out. Instead, we too often turn inward. We isolate ourselves. And I think this is especially true with our relationship to God. We are not likely to turn towards God in our need, but to turn away. Now, I don't know if this is because we think God doesn't care or that God is above our issues, or if, like the psalmist, we think that God is punishing us, so we shouldn't even turn to him when things are not right. But this is not the path that David takes. Instead, he turns to God and in a personal way calls on his name. Notice how in the first three verses, David calls God using God's name, the Lord, Yahweh. This is a personal and an intimate plea that one who is only in relationship with another can have. And so, like the psalmist, we must resist the urge to turn from God and instead actively turn to God in a very personal way. And here's a great truth of our faith, that the Lord wants us to turn to him when we are in sorrow. Like a loving parent who has their arms open to a hurting child, so the Lord has his arms open to you in your pain. If we want to find grace in lament, we must first turn to God. Second, presenting our complaint. Verse 2. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are shaking with terror. David moves from calling on God to presenting specific complaints. Now, I think we think of complaining as only a negative thing, thinking of whining or being ungrateful. How many of us were told as children, or maybe told our own children, to stop complaining? We take the Apostle Paul's exhortation to be content in all things to the extreme and think that we mean never to raise any kind of thought that may sound ungrateful to the Lord. But David shows us that our complaints can be godly. It's all about where they are directed. Throughout the Psalms of Lament, the writers are creative in their complaints. They express their doubts, their sorrows, their fears, and even their confusion. And because they are turned towards God in faith, these complaints are not taken as whining, but as godly expressions of frustration. Remember, we are praying our emotions. We're praying our emotions, whatever they may be. So even our complaints can be acceptable to God. Godly complaining means voicing our disappointments as we move towards a resolution. If we want to experience the grace of lament, we must be willing to voice our complaints to God. Third, making a bold request. Verse 4. Turn, O Lord, save my life. Deliver me for the sake of your steadfast love. Lament does not end in complaint, but moves to requesting God to act. If you were to read all of the Psalms of Lament and read the Book of Lamentations, you might be put off by the boldness or the authority with which biblical laments demand God to act. It seems almost as if they are presuming upon God, as if they sound as if they have God within their grasp. But the psalmist's confidence in who God is and how God has been faithful compels him to ask boldly. Laments stake their claim on the character of God, on his steadfast love, on his grace, and on God's mercy. To lament well, we must be willing to act boldly, ask boldly for the Lord to act, even sometimes reminding him who he is and what he has done. But again, God is our loving parent, ready and willing to hear our requests and to answer our prayers. To receive grace through lament, we must make bold requests of our God. And finally, choosing to trust. Choosing to trust. Verse 9. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord accepts my prayer. This last step is probably the hardest, the most difficult of the four. Most people get stuck in either complaining or in asking. David, however, moves and makes the conscious choice to trust. To trust that God hears and will answer. All that has come before in our lamenting has been leading up to this. Remember, a lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. There is no sign here in the text that David's pain is necessarily over, only that he proclaims that God has heard him. He already asked God to act in accordance with his love. So David must now choose to trust it will happen. To lament well, we must make the conscious choice to trust God, to trust that when we pray, he hears and will answer. It's not that God will act in the exact way that we want him to or in the timing that we want God to work at. And again, like I've been saying these weeks, it's not a magic wand that we just wave over our problems and they go away. But lament is an act in itself of trust, that we must act this way to bring our lament to a kind of resolution. Think of it like this. In lament, we are praying out our emotions. We're praying out our emotions. And then we're praying in God's truth. We're praying in God's truth. And the foundational truth of our faith is that God is trustworthy. That God is trustworthy. We remind ourselves of this truth again and again, and each time it can get easier to trust him. If we desire the grace of lament, we must make the conscious choice to trust in the Lord. So lament is not a one-time thing. This isn't a checklist we go through and then we're done. We don't just pray and it's all instantly better. The fact that there are so many psalms of lament shows this to be true. But prayers of lament are more like a map that we have to return to again and again, helping to lead us through our pain and disappointment, and hopefully, as we trust in God, lead us to a place of grace and mercy and peace. It's a map that we have to return to again and again because Our life is full of pain and sorrow and disappointment, but God makes a way where there was once no way. We give our pain to the God who can take and hold it all. Friends, the good news is that God can hold all of our pain and all of our sorrow. And he can do it because in Jesus he already took it on himself. Jesus bore the cross with all our sin, all our sorrow, our pain and disappointment, so that now he can meet us with an abundance of grace in our greatest hour, in our darkest moment. So when you are left asking, what do I do with my pain? Turn to God. Present your complaint. Ask boldly. And choose to trust. Only then will you find the fullness, the depth of God's mercy and grace. Amen. Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, in Jesus Christ, you have bore our grief and sorrow, and by the power of the resurrection, transformed them into grace and hope. Grant to us your Holy Spirit to meet us in our hour of need, and so lead us to discover your mercy afresh in every circumstance. Heavenly Father, you are sovereign over all the earth. You hold the destiny of nations in your hands. Grant that your justice and peace may flow in every land until your kingdom comes in full. Lord, this day especially, we pray for an end to wars and violence across the world, in Ukraine, in Israel-Palestine, in Sudan, and in all other places where life is harmed. Bring peace and an end to conflict, we pray. We pray for our nation, O God, that you would grant us humility, humility and truth, virtue and character, that we may live in accord with our values, not the agenda of our own hearts. Bless our leaders and grant them eyes to see and a heart that is tender to the needs of all people. We give you thanks this day for all those who work in the field of medicine, for those who work in hospitals, in rehab facilities, in care homes, for nurses, for doctors, for technicians, for carers of every kind. We pray that you would prosper the work of their hands, give them diligence and wisdom in their labors, and help them to work for the good of another. Blessed Jesus, by your death and resurrection, you redeemed a people for yourself. In sending your Holy Spirit, you have established your church. Grant that we would not only proclaim the gospel, but live the gospel, so that in word and deed, the world may know who you are. We pray this day for the church in Iraq. We pray, grant them perseverance and strength through persecution, and lift them up in faith, hope, and love, that their witness may be a positive light reflecting your grace in their community and to the world. We pray also for the PCUSA mission co-workers, those who are discerning a new path forward following your call in their lives. Open up every doorway through which they can walk through in faith and hope, and help us to support them with our resources, with our prayers, and with our words of affirmation. And we pray this day, of course, for this church which you have called Hebron. Keep us faithful and help us to seek fresh expressions of your mission in this community and in the world. Holy Spirit, you bring us new life in a world that is characterized by death. You heal us when all around is hurt. Grant your restoring power, we pray, to the hurting world, and help us to be hands and feet of healing to those in need. Especially, O Lord, we pray for those who suffer this day in body, mind, and spirit, whether they be among us or in our hearts and minds. And we lift to you those whom we name in the quiet of this moment. O Holy Trinity, we lift to you these our prayers, trusting that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore, let us dedicate our life and labors to the work of God's church in the world. Pray. Our God and Father, every good gift comes from above, and so we set apart these gifts and the whole of our lives as tokens of our gratitude and faith. Use them, we pray, and help us to be good stewards of them, so that we may proclaim your gospel, live in peace with one another, and witness to your kingdom that is to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
our darkest hour, God meets us with his grace, his mercy, and his peace. And so I invite you, when you feel as all is lost, when you ask, what do I do with this pain, to turn to God, to make your complaints, to ask boldly, and finally choose to trust, knowing that God can take all that we have and transform it for the good. And as you go from this place, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.